Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you whisper.
Good evening, everyone. Yes, indeed. Let's get started here. Tonight, we have a very fascinating guest with us. Pete Orbea is in the house. And just a quick notation here, due to, I don't know, ghostly activity maybe, I will be sounding just a little bit tinny in this interview. For some very interesting reason, and I cannot explain why, I had been taping all day and no problems at all. Step away just for a brief second, come back, start the interview with Pete, and sure enough, I sound like I'm talking into a drum. Regardless, it was an excellent and is an excellent interview, so please sit back and enjoy.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Good evening, Pete, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, can't wait to talk to you tonight, Pete, because I know we're going to have a lot of interesting chat.
Great.
Let me start a foundation here with both of us. The way the show works here a little bit is everybody likes to know where this all began for someone. And I want you to go back as far as you can remember and tell us a little bit about when was perhaps, maybe, you know, the first time that you recognized that something seemed a little bit, not so much in your life, whether it be paranormal, extraterrestrial, cryptid, or whatever. Where did that all start for you?
Well, I would say the first place that I... first age where I recognized something as being more than what we can see or know was when I was 7 years old. Previous to that, my parents had told me about, I used to talk about a tall man in the corner of my room, but I don't really remember that being so little. But at 7 years old, I was traveling with my grandparents. They lived in Arizona. They lived in Sedona. And so I would spend summers down there. And so we were on a road trip going down there to stay for the summer. And we were in northern Arizona. And the landscape that we're, you know, they have the red rocks, you know, ways off the road, the red rock mountains. And it was just flat on either side of the road. And we're driving along and I'm riding in the middle in my grandfather's pickup truck, and all of a sudden, these two Native Americans appeared in the middle of the highway, wearing what looked to be like traditional garb. And one had a bow, the other had a staff, and they were faced away from us, but they turned in towards each other and looked back at us. And my grandpa hit the brakes, and as soon as we got to them, they just vanished.
Wow.
And he looked at me, and this was a different time, but he said, "Did you see them old Indians in the road?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Yes." And my stomach kind of sank because he saw it too. Mm-hmm. And asked me about it. And then he, you know, I think we sat there in silence for just a few seconds. And then he said, "Well, don't tell your grandma. She'll get freaked out."
Mm-hmm.
And she was sleeping, taking a nap next to me. But as soon as the truck got close to them, they just poof, gone. They didn't run. They were just gone. And from that point forward, I questioned it. You know, I didn't really know what that was. I wasn't really scared of it, but just, you know, curious, I guess, more than anything. And then after that, it was, you know, I had experiences all throughout the rest of my childhood. It seemed like everywhere I worked, when I was coming up in high school and college, and it was, there was stuff going on all the time, voices and footsteps and apparitions. And so my interest was always kind of peaked throughout the years because of experiences. But I'd say 7 years old, to make a short answer long, about 7 years old.
Now, let me, I'm going to go back to that for a moment here. I want to beat it up a little bit.
All right.
So when you saw these two Native Americans standing in the road, they looked fairly solid, right? Like a solid human being, solid is what I'm getting at, right?
Yes.
They didn't look half translucent or anything like that. Now, when they went and they turned to each other, and they gave a glance to each other, could you tell any more about their expression when they did that? Like, it seemed like an intelligent expression, or just more of the residual expression?
Well, it was more so they glanced at us.
Oh, they glanced at you.
Not at each other. So they were faced away.
All right.
And then they turned in towards each other partially, with their whole body turned, and then their heads turned the rest of the way. And it was like they just kind of glanced back to look at us.
Yeah.
And as they were doing that, they weren't moving. And so my grandpa hit the brakes.
Yeah.
And then it was just, they just vanished. There was no cloud. There was no mist. It was just poof, gone.
Nothing in the rearview mirror,
you know?
I mentioned that one at the conference regarding, I had two guys, I believe there are guys smoking in the backseat of my car. Like, when you say the rearview mirror, it brings me back to that, because two different cigarettes. And if I would have looked in the rearview mirror at all, and I would have seen that, and maybe if you would have seen that, I don't know what your reaction would have been per se, because it's not kind of like, would they have popped back up and continued standing there, or would they have turned and looked at you as you drove away? I think that is.
Right.
Really fascinating in itself. Now, you know as well as I do that area that you're describing is a very, very active area.
Yes.
And
yes,
I've had conversations with people regarding skinwalkers and shift shapers in that area as well. But they didn't shape shift here. These were actual what they looked like at back in their day or whatnot, apparitions. Very interesting.
They looked flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now let's move this a little bit forward.
Okay.
It's interesting your grandpa saw them too, by the way, because at least you kind of didn't pass it off as dehydration or anything of that sort, you know, or it was a hot day or whatever kind of thing. So now let's move this a little forward a little bit.
Okay.
So you've seen these apparitions. And you're seven, and we're moving into our younger years in school. So what would you say would have been the next significant thing that happened with you, where you said to yourself, okay, this is getting a little bit more than a coincidence here? What would that have been?
Well, I'll just preface by saying that I grew up in a very sci-fi house.
Okay.
It was a lot of sci-fi going on. So I was open to, you know, the possibilities that we're not the only ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember a time after me being seven, I'm not quite sure exactly what age, I did witness a light in the sky above my house, and I grew up in Boise, Idaho, and making zigzag motions and then just poof, gone. And I thought, I'm a big Star Wars fan, and I thought, oh, I wonder who that is coming to visit us, you know? And so I kind of was looking to the stars. So there's been a couple times throughout my life where I've seen that, but there was definitely one when I was a kid. But I would say most of the rest of my childhood and coming up through school, it was something I didn't really notice a lot. But there were times that I can remember, which alludes to later in my life, where I would just all of a sudden be overcome with all these feelings. Mm-hmm. And like I would imagine all these different people and I would see names and I'd just be like, who are these people? I've never met them before. Mm-hmm. Or I like to equate a lot of those experiences that I had to, you know, for those Star Wars fans out there. Mm-hmm. In episode 4, when Alderaan gets blown up and Obi-Wan Kenobi kind of falls over and says, I've, you know, sensed the cries of a billion people. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how things would feel for me sometimes. And I didn't know what it was. I had no reason to feel, you know, all these feelings and emotions and energy. Mm-hmm. And I never quite knew what it was, but I was curious, like, well, what the heck, you know, or I just have an imagination. You know, mm-hmm. that's what I chalked it up to a lot. Coming up through school, it's just an imagination. And I didn't know what an empath was, but a lot of my, you know, experiences with friends or other people, looking back retrospectively, mm-hmm. I kind of see that there. So, but yeah. once I got out of high school and, you know, I worked at a couple of haunted theaters. Mm-hmm. Where there was daily activity. And so, you know, we all just got used to it. But it always interested me, like, who the heck is this? Mm-hmm. What are they doing here? And why are they doing that? Why is, you know, we'd have things like there was a construction crew at one point, and we'd come in to open the next day, and they worked in the middle of the night, and their saws would be in the toilets.
Huh.
And, you know, like, why are these guys putting their power tools in the toilets and ruining them?
Interesting. And,
or, you know, you're closing down the theater, you're the last one in there, and you're going to check the exit doors, and you hear multiple seats in the theater come back up from being down, or footsteps or voices, seeing shadows. I mean, it was all kinds of stuff. And that's where I was really like, all right, ghosts are real. What's going on here?
Yeah, yeah. That actually, you know, and I know you know this as well as many people probably, theaters are very active for some reason. And why do you think that is?
Well, I think, you know, it's a place where performers, musicians, you know, actors, actresses, they're working with an open mind because of the nature of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so I think the energy that they're putting into performances, the energy mm-hmm. that goes into putting on a show, I think leaves a mark.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why theaters, you often hear about a lot of stories. It's a place where people are really putting themselves out there, their emotions, you know, they're really leaving themselves there in a sense. You know, you hear football players talk about leaving it all in the field.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing with musicians and actors and actresses, performers, you know, you leave it on the stage, right? Well, I think you're leaving more than just a physical sense mm-hmm. on the stage. And so I think that's probably why.
And not just that, add to it also the energy from the audience. Because yes. when they get excited and they want to clap and scream and yell, and or they even have, even they're affected by emotions themselves and whatever they're watching,
yes.
all of this energy just gets somehow funneled right into that environment and lights it up almost yes. like a Christmas tree, which is very, very interesting. So that I find that interesting, and I'm not too surprised about hearing that. When construction or something is being changed within an environment, yes. that all of a sudden you find tools being hidden, being taken, disappearing, yeah. being found in unusual places. Very interesting in and of itself. So,
yes.
I want to go back a moment to the, I believe you're possibly alluding to a UFO experience, possibly in, did you say, when you were in Boise, Idaho, did I hear you correctly on that?
Yeah, I think I must have been around 10, mm-hmm. 10 years old or so, 10, 11. And I don't know exactly what it was, but there was a light that, you know, I noticed, because I would go out and look at the stars at night. I took astronomy in high school, and we had a planetarium at our high school, so it was great. And so I was always interested in the stars. And so summer nights, you know, long summer nights, I'm out, you know, looking. And so that first one that I saw, I mean, it was just a light, figured it was a satellite until it took a hard 90 degree turn, and then another one, and then a diagonal 45 degree turn, and then just boom, gone.
Yep.
Yeah. I was like, okay, that's not what a satellite does.
Right.
So what it was, I'm not exactly sure, but it was definitely weird.
Mm-hmm. I know that there's a gentleman I had on the show a long time ago, and he lives in northern Idaho. Okay. And he said he had at one point went to get those military goggles. And night vision military goggles. And he said he was looking out his window once, and he could see the treetops a little bit, and he couldn't see anything there. Then he brought the military goggles up to his eyes, of course, and there was a UFO hovering above the treetops, but he couldn't see it with his naked eye. It was as if it was cloaked until he, of course, look through those the viewers. Have you ever?
Cool.
Yeah, have you ever in your area, since it's so active, and especially it's also very active where you grew up. Have you ever looked through those military goggles, night vision goggles, and seen anything else?
So I have not been successful at that, but I am trying and still try. So okay. I have not been successful yet, but I'm not going to give up.
Yeah, no, it's not like you. You will question things when you look through those goggles. People will say, oh, that's a satellite. Or people will say, ah, no, that's something of our nature or whatever and stuff. But I don't know. I think it's fascinating. Personally, I went on a UFO watch about a year ago. And actually in Sedona. I was there in Sedona and went on one there. But what was being described to us and what we were seeing still leaves us wondering what we really saw, you know, and stuff. So people will have more questions than answers on that.
Right.
One of the things about you growing into your abilities, this is one of the things that I find really interesting about you, is that, especially in your story, is that you have kind of become awakened at a certain point. And I know that people that have actually had potentially UFO-ish whatever type experiences that they don't remember, that could have been a possible awakening. Someone who have gone through trauma might have been awakened by some trauma that they were in of that sort. Where do you think your awakening abilities started from? Where do you think they came from?
Well, I think so. It was in my early 30s when, and I like to use a term my good friend Karen Frazier uses, where the universal 2x4 smacked me in the head and said, I need to pay attention now. But I feel for me, it was a right time. It was the right time for it to happen. It wasn't, you know, if it was the right time when I was younger, it would have happened, I think. But I think my, you know, quote unquote awakening happened for me at the right time in my life, where I was maybe finally open enough to understand and accept. But it was definitely, you know, it was one of those right time, right place, this is happening now sort of situations. So
did your parents, sorry to interrupt you, but were your parents, people always want to know, how did the parents react to when things, you might have been questioning things, possibly even your grandfather, with those Native Americans in the road and all that. How did they react to all of this?
Pretty well, supportive. I think they probably thought it was weird, you know, but again, you know, I grew up in real sci-fi supportive house. And so, you know, having the open mind to possibilities of more than what we know was, you know, it wasn't something pushed on me or pushed on anybody. It was just kind of the way to live. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of the way to be. So yeah, they're supportive. All my friends are supportive. Family, my wife has been my biggest supporter. Mm-hmm. And she's also, you know, keeps me on my toes with all of it. Mm-hmm. As well. So yeah, everybody was pretty supportive. I think some people weirded out more than others, but mm-hmm. certainly we're still supportive. Mm-hmm. I was very, very lucky.
How about brothers and sisters? Did you have brothers and sisters?
Well, I have two half brothers and a half sister that I didn't meet until after that awakening.
Okay.
That I didn't meet or know where they were or who they were until after that awakening.
Okay. And I was just curious because, of course, everybody, I come from a big family, and people have always asked me in the family, I don't believe in this stuff. I'm a skeptic, right. Da, 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 da. Couple of them, though, have had their own pseudo kind of experiences, but I seem to have gotten a huge dose of it. Either, and I don't know where my abilities, I had mine since age three and four. I've had abilities, and then I finally said, okay, I've got something going on here. I knew it and yeah. all this, and then it just kind of expanded from there, and they activate. Yeah. Now, my question to you would be, if my abilities activate during certain frequencies, of which I have, do your abilities activate under certain frequencies of which you go through?
I don't know that I can have a good answer for that, other than it depends on my mental state, I think.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Most of the time, if I have had experiences and have done readings for people off the cuff where mm-hmm. I sat down and like put my intent out there. So I think it can happen anytime, and it does sometimes when I'm not expecting it. But for the most part, it just depends on like if I'm in a space to hold space for spirits, or if I'm on an investigation, you know, it just kind of depends on my intent. What am I trying to do? And that kind of guides what happens. So I don't know that I have a solid answer for you on that question, other than I think it kind of works anytime, but yep. It definitely is better when I focus and, you know, consciously make that intent of I'm holding space for spirits, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I activate differently depending on if I'm like really depressed for some reason, or just low energy, versus when I'm high frequency, when I have a different activation sometimes. I can't always do it on command, but then all of a sudden when I start opening up and things are flowing out of me, there's something that has occurred that goes into that. You say you live in a relatively active home. People are always curious because they want something to gauge their own experiences with. Mm-hmm. What kinds of things happen in your home?
Yeah, so I live in a house built around 1890. Mm-hmm. And it was more active, I would say, when we first moved in. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was because it was new people, new energies. But we were getting, well, even just recently, when my kids are, you know, off for a sleepover at grandma's, I'll hear children talking in our stairwell. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I have to like ask my wife, okay, the kids are gone, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. There's a shadow figure that comes from our kitchen into the dining room, and then a little bit of time will go by, and then it'll go back into the dining room. Mm-hmm. That may or may not be a family member, a grandfather in our family, but I'm not exactly sure. We have strange noises, you know, thumps and loud noises. When we first moved in, one of my kids was 1 year old, and she was sleeping in a crib mm-hmm. upstairs, and we would hear often what sounded like somebody with a big giant trunk dropping it on the ground and sliding it, and then picking it up and dropping it and sliding it again. And you'd go up there, and there's our little one just sound asleep.
Yeah.
Not moving around, you know, and it's literally sounded like heavy furniture being dragged around. And that activity ceased after the first year and a half, 2 years that we were here. Mm-hmm. But it's the shadow person that I see the most, and it's literally like every other day. I'll see it and experience it, and I just can't quite tell if it's with the location, with the house, or if it's from one of us living there. I'm just not quite sure yet. Mm-hmm. But you definitely see it. And, you know, I've heard, like I said, heard voices. But that's pretty par for the course when you're living here in Little Port Gamble, Washington.
Yeah. It sounds to me like a very fascinating place. Question on the shadow person. So I saw an elemental in my hallway, months ago. And, I was coming up the stairs, and it was about 2 feet high, and it was a wisp, and it went from, the wall that basically led into the bathroom. And bathrooms are very active because of mirrors and everything that goes on in water sources in a bathroom. But,
right.
I saw it darker than dark because, everything was dark in the hallway. And it was very fast. And because I also live in an active house, but it depends on what's happening, that depends on the activity. So my question with you, with the shadow person, mm-hmm. have you noticed any, whether it has red eyes or anything that's along with it?
Never seen any eyes with it. However, okay. in another location here in Port Gamble, I have been in an attic by myself and turned around, and across the room was something with two red eyes looking back at me.
Oh my.
That turned my insides upside down. I'll say that.
Oh yeah.
But I've never in my house, I've never seen eyes with it. It's just the figure, and you can see the arms moving. And it just kind of comes from our kitchen into the dining room. And then, like I said, a little, you know, 10 minutes goes by or whatever, and then you'll see it go back in there.
Mm-hmm. Question. Does your wife or anybody else see that, shadow person other than you?
My kids have never said anything, about it. And I think they would if they did see it and recognized maybe they saw something. I think they would say something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that my wife's seen it either. Maybe she's seen it once, but it's usually me who sees it.
Okay.
And I don't always say when I do. I just like acknowledge, hey, I see you there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hope you're doing well. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. Have a good day. There's the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but you said you see this like what, every other day, or you?
I mean, it seems like every other day. It's very frequent.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out in the back of my mind why so frequent. You know, a lot of people report that when they do see these shadow figures, that they're not always there all the time. Sometimes they'll be watching them from a doorway and peek around or stand there. I had one other shadow person experience in a room that I was in Europe. It was some kind of a bed and breakfast where it actually walked through my computer light. The room was dark, but it walked through the computer light, and I could actually see the figure, and it went to sit down in a chair in a corner. Now that, of course, scared me. I didn't freak out or anything. I just kind of, you know, so do you feel nervous or afraid because of the frequency that you're seeing this shadow person?
I don't. I feel totally comfortable with it. I think if it was, it was something negative or had bad intentions, I think I would feel that pretty quickly. And I've never gotten that. Like, I'm kind of torn between, is it my wife's grandfather because of the shape of it? Mm-hmm. Looks very much like him.
Mm-hmm.
But the frequency is makes me question that possibly it's like a residual, it's like a broken record player. I'm seeing a repeat of history in that house. So the frequency kind of makes me think it might be something with the location, but the shape and how it walks and everything is very similar to my wife's grandfather, who's passed on a while ago.
And then, of course, everyone's going to be asking the question, are you living in a house where your grandfather used to live?
Nope. Definitely not. He lived quite a ways away from here, but many people have lived in my house in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it could very well be someone who, a former resident of the home. It was a company built home. So it was, you know, the person, people who lived there would have worked at the sawmill that was here. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of fun to think about, well, is it someone I know? Is it someone not? You know, it never happens when I'm like waiting for it to happen.
Right.
You know, I should just like set up audio and, you know, little IR GoPro, you know, mm-hmm. just leave it there each night and see if I can catch it. But it never happens when I'm thinking about it. And yeah. It just kind of happens when I'm sitting there watching TV. And we did have an experience that made me think of that might have to do with that shadow person. It was soonish after we had moved in. You know, when your computer's on screensaver, like a dark screen, you move your mouse and then it comes back up.
Right.
I had one of those situations in our dining room. My computer screen came on, mm-hmm. and so it caught my attention. And we had a duffel bag that I had emptied the stuff out, and it was just kind of sitting there on our dining room table. And that thing came off the table onto the ground.
Interesting.
After the computer screen. Yeah, like it was shoved, like a cat would shove something off an edge of a table or something. So
interesting.
But now looking back at that, I wonder if it's the same person, you know.
It's hard to say because from my knowledge, or at least from my experience, not my knowledge, but my experience with my own experiences, it's hard to say because I do know that in my, which the house doesn't exist anymore. It was built as my grandparents' house, and there's a lot of activity. But I also came to realize that as other homes in the county where my grandparents' house was at the time, when they were like being torn down or anything like that, you also have these territorial type apparitions that are seeking out another location they feel comfortable with. And so sometimes they will just come in because they say, you know, I kind of like this house. I feel comfortable here. I think I'm going to put my mark or my territory on it. Now, the other thing you mentioned here was the residual. And I've had a situation in a castle once, and many castles that I've been in, but this one in particular, didn't see the shape of it, but of course felt it. And I'm going to ask you this question in a second. I believe that I had a residual experience when we were in a haunted room and it was a smaller castle. And it always wanted to sit on like the right side of the bed, and it would sit on people's backs, and it sat on my back. And then I got nervous and I kind of kicked it off and probably threw it against the wall for all I know. But you know, the thing is that it was always the same act though, and it was described the same way, which leads me to believe it was maybe potentially a residual happening rather than something more intelligent. However, I'm going to throw this on your shoulders right now. Okay. And I'm going to ask you the same sort of question. Since you've done a lot of investigating, have you been able to determine when you're having a residual experience versus an intelligent experience?
Yes and no. How's that answer for you?
I like it.
Yes, in the sense that, and I think when there's an apparition, an intelligent, something that seems intelligent, something that is maybe self-aware, they will interact with you or not interact with you and move away. Whereas when you experience something like a haunting, a residual, a repeat of history, they don't seem to really react to you or other investigators. They're, you know, eyes forward, looking at something. You know, I had an experience here in Port Gamble. I had a private tour group. We were in a house called the Walker Ames House. Mm-hmm. I was describing the history of the house. We heard a noise behind me. Of course, we had the lights off. Mm-hmm. So I turned with my flashlight to see what the noise behind me was. And there was a woman standing there all of a sudden. Huh. And she was looking straight ahead out towards the front windows of the house. My flashlight cast a shadow of her. Mm-hmm. My flashlight beam accidentally, I mean, I didn't mean to, but it hit her right in the eyeballs and she didn't flinch. She was just looking straight ahead. And then we all collectively gasped.
Right.
And then she just vanished.
Interesting.
To me, that was more of a residual thing because she didn't look at me. She didn't right. look at anybody else. She was just looking ahead. There was no interaction. So now there are other things you might catch, you know, a piece of audio that is something many other people have captured. Well, is that residual, even though it's a voice and it communicated? Is it something that this person, the last thing they said in life? Is it something that they always said every day? You know, so I can go either way on audio stuff, unless something is responding to your specific question, then I think you can say you've got something that is self-aware, aware of us and where we are, aware of themselves and where they are, and actually interact. I've had numerous experiences where, you know, a lot of times I'll ask, I like to, you know, try out the ghost box, you know, sometimes. I know it's something people either you love it or you hate it in the paranormal field, but I feel like, why the hell not? Why not try it? Right? You might hit a secret recipe and then a bunch of advancement can happen. But and not just through the ghost box, but through EVP, right. I ask questions and I get responses like, yes, Pete, no, Pete. That to me is like, I can't really say that's just a haunting, a repeat of history. That is something interacting, more of an apparition type thing. So, I think it can go either way, knowing whether or not something is a residual or an intelligent. But if you definitely get a spirit, you're seeing it, whatever, and it's totally ignoring you, chances are it might be just a haunting.
Well, you bring up a good point. Pete and I were speakers at a recent conference out in Oregon, and I just barely caught this part of this conversation that was going on, and maybe you were more involved in it, or maybe you remember it. And it was a conversation about what did they call it? Ghost bites? Something where people are now getting more responses, something talking to them on their cell phones, writing them text messages, writing things on their computers, bites like that. Now, I just brazed that. I barely caught that. And it sounds very fascinating. Were you part of that conversation at all with anybody? And do you know what I'm talking about regarding? And someone had brought up, well, maybe it's us doing that, or like we're sending ourselves messages or something along that sort. And I don't know. Do you remember that conversation at all, Pete?
I caught part of that too. But there was somebody at the conference, one of the conference coordinators, who had an experience the night before of her phone sending a message to her husband. That was written, and the syntax was not anything how she would ever talk. Right. And I know of somebody else as well who's had an experience where they weren't sure who they were communicating with, you know, but something was writing messages from their phone to their spouse's computer. They weren't even on their phone, and there was things going back and forth. Whether or not that's, who knows? Is it that AI bots? Is it us? That it's really hard to know. How do you, unless you have a controlled situation, how do you really test for that? Because it's always explained as so random, right?
Right.
So how can you set up something where you can control the situation and control the devices to where that's when you can really find stuff out. So as of now, I mean, I don't know what technology is out there that we don't know about, but you know, I just have to chalk it up to, like I do with most things in the paranormal, is we don't know much and anything's possible.
Yeah. So
I think if you keep an open mind, at least about, you know, anything that's unexplained, you might get answers, you might not, but always stay open, you know?
Yeah. It's really hard to know. I mean, I know there was probably about a month or so ago, we were in some kind of a magnetic shift, or the earth was involved in a magnetic shift. And I know that I was having just the roughest time doing interviews because things were happening. And then since they've really slowed down, or they're non-existent, but I was having just a hard time. And my phone actually called somebody's husband's phone. And so my friend called back and said, what do you want? What do you need? Hi, how you doing? I haven't talked to you in a while. You called my husband's phone, you know, question mark. And I said, no, I never called you. I said, I don't know who did or what did and all that, but she has it literally on her phone that I had called her. My brother also, his phone or somebody else's phone, called somebody else as well. Yeah, I have no idea what sparked that or why or what happened there, but I do know for myself, and I'm going to ask this question of you in just a moment here, I know I have some kind of unusual, I don't want to call it an ability, with electronics or things that can affect electronics sometimes, and I know people that do. Do you have abilities where you feel like when you're around certain things that you have electronically that you might be able to, you personally, affect them?
Not that I have noticed, which I would think my answer would be yes on that. But as I'm thinking about it, I don't think so. However, I will say, and this might be your case as well, that my spirit guides who are with me, or ones that come to check on me, may cause some of that. Mm-hmm. It may not be me, and be, you know, like in your case, you know, it could be you. It'd be interesting to set up a situation where, you know, a controlled situation, and try to consciously mess with electronics. But for you, in your case, you know, I could totally see one of your spirit guides messes with electronics. Their magnetic field, their energy messes with electronics. So it may not be you, but it may be your spirit guide that's standing right next to you that affects the electronics. So,
well, you're not too far off on there. I'm going to give you just a short story here, just to add to that, I guess.
Yeah.
So for the longest time, I seem to have an interesting experience with elevators. Now, most people would say this, oh, someone pressed the button, it came down on its own. Oh no, it always opens up because it's supposed to be doing that, or whatever the case is. No, it started to get a little funky when I was in my 20s and my 30s, and I'd always approach an elevator, and the thing would always just, like magic, just open up for me, or quickly open up for me, or whatever. But here's a situation that my husband was with me, so, and that kind of seals the deal here. So we're in a haunted, another haunted building, a hotel in Baltimore. And I was asking the manager there if he didn't mind sharing with me any of the haunted type experiences at that place. And he got really, really mad. And he was like, I do not want this place to be known as a haunted building. This place has history. That's where I want people to know about it. Do not go out and glorify the fact that this place is a haunted building, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he's kind of edgy, and we're standing in front of an elevator about maybe 10 to 15 feet away from an elevator. And I said, Okay, that's fine. I just thought I would just ask if it was okay for me to, because he was leading a ghost tour, for God's sakes, but that wasn't his thing. It was all history in his mind. That's what it was, but very edgy. Okay. So okay. Just about the time he ends up saying, and that's where I want to leave it. Oh, here's some coupons for some drinks, blah, 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 later on, whatever. No sooner did he say the words, this building is not haunted. I kid you not. My husband and I, he turns and starts to walk away. The clerk is right behind us at the clerk desk. My husband and I turn and I look right at this elevator. And as if something were to just take those doors and just fling them like as hard as you possibly could imagine, open. Nobody came out. Nobody had gone up. Nobody was up there wanting to come down. It was as if something was saying, it was like laughing at him. So I looked at him. I looked at the clerk behind me and I said, and I looked at the elevator doors and I said, thank you. And we walked right in without touching anything. And of course, then pressed the button to go up. But I said, you're right. I don't suppose this place is haunted. And then the doors close and we go up. But the thing is that that was a classic example of once again, him being so fired up and then getting me internally shaken because I feel like a fool saying to him, you know, can I talk to you about your ghost here? And then getting basically lectured. And then all of a sudden something saying, nah, 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 and woof. It was just, you had to be there. But that brings me to a question to you. Have you ever been, and I'm sure you've been in many, what is an experience that you've had that took you so off guard? I mean, I know you mentioned the one with the red eyes in that attic. Boy, that would be more than off guard. That would be scaring the living wits out of me. Yeah. But have there been other situations you've been in that have caught you so off guard that you're like, you know, what we say is, I'm good. I don't need any more of these experiences. You know, I've had enough kind of thing. Any of those for you?
Yeah. One the top of my head that I talk about on my tours is so during an investigation, multiple story house, and we saw what looked to be like a shorter shadow coming mm-hmm. down the stairwell. And that's something that's been reported numerous times before. And we had this place all decked out for a Christmas event. But I did an investigation the night before it started. So I had been asking if anybody in the house that lived there wanted to come down and make a gingerbread house with me. Mm-hmm. You know, let's get in the Christmas spirit, you know, pun intended, mm-hmm. you know, come on down. Mm-hmm. Well, we saw this, what looked to be like a shorter shadow, like a child size coming down the stairwell. We saw it just briefly, but we saw the movement in front of the stained glass. And so I said, oh, that's great. Thank you for coming down. This is going to be so much fun. Mm-hmm. And then it vanished. And then immediately after it vanished, we hear a kid run the whole length of the second floor of this building. Mm-hmm. And we're all present and accounted for on the first floor. So we hear this go down the whole length of the house on the second floor. So I shot up there, not running, but I got up, you know, double stepping. And then I was walking. I'm thinking, I'm going to see whoever this was because I'm getting up here quick enough. I'm going to see them all the way at the other end of this floor here. And so I'm walking just like power walking, right? You know, as fast as I can. And I get into what is the master bedroom. I'm still looking ahead, and that the master bedroom is the last room that you can go into. Seeing nothing. I'm speeding ahead, and it felt like I smacked into an offensive lineman on a football team.
Okay.
And it felt like a person. It squished when I hit it, mm-hmm. and it knocked me backwards.
Wow.
And not down, but it knocked me backwards. And when I kind of caught myself, then there were four what sounded like cowboy boots. Footprints on the wood floor going emanating from the point of impact around the corner into this closet that we never go into. And that one caught me off guard big time because I was not seeing anything in front of me. I wasn't feeling anything. I was just focused on whatever this was that just ran across the floor must have gone around the corner now. So I'm beelining it, and then just to smack into somebody that was a lot bigger than me and it knocked me back. That one definitely took me way off guard.
So when you smacked into that, we call it the brick wall that you cannot see. Did you say sorry or anything, or did you just kind of get up, kind of compose yourself and turn around and go, okay, I'm done here. What was your reaction then?
My reaction was kind of catching myself and regaining my balance and hearing those footsteps. And I think I said something to the effect of, what the heck was that? You know, other people were following me up by that point. Did anybody else see anything? No. And then I just kind of then started describing to the other investigators what I had experienced, but it all happened pretty fast, you know, from that point of impact and then the boot steps. And I was just kind of so confused that and startled, like, oh, you know, that I was not expecting that it really caught me off guard. Otherwise, I think if it hadn't caught me off guard so much, I would have said, oh, excuse me, you know, who did I bump into? You know, I'm very sorry, you know, but it was, I was walking so fast and then just boom.
Question for you. I've had over 100 experiences of so many interesting things that, you know, I could spend days. But one of the things that comes to my mind, and I'm wondering about this, and correct me if I'm wrong. Have you ever been trickster lured before?
Not that I am aware of.
Could the little girl that sounded like a little girl coming down and then going back up or whatever, whether it's shape shifted within itself or whatever, could have been some kind of a lure to go and chase after her? Or was it the possibility that maybe there was more than one apparition present in that building, and that one just so happens that was a little bit more what I want to call protective, because you were actually going back up and following to try to find that little girl? What do you take from that? Do you think it was more protection, there's more than one of us here, so don't get too excited? Or do you think that there was a possibility that the little gal shape-shifted herself into something else? What do you think?
Well, I always keep an open mind, but my gut on that experience after thinking about it all these years is it's the latter. It's there was more than one entity. Mm-hmm. And that there was one there that was like, hey, slow your roll, buddy. Mm-hmm. You're going to stop right here.
Yeah.
That's more in line with all the reports of all over the years at this location. That's more like it. However, I will say that around this particular location, people have sensed, picked up on elementals and really old spirits. There is a Native American heritage and culture that goes back thousands of years. So there's that kind of element to it as well. But that specific instance, my gut just has always been like, it was another entity I ran into.
Interesting.
Not the child. However, there is a child in there that's very vocal, and she is given the same name as another female entity in the same location. She's given the same name and has described herself as a lady, but people have captured her voice to be what sounds like an adult female. I've captured it where it sounds like she's 10 years old, or even younger. Mm-hmm. And so that type of possibilities, I think, is going on in that particular location where they're showing up at whatever age they want to show up at, you know, however they want to be seen or experienced. But that particular incident was, I think, I can't say definitely, but I'm very confident that it was somebody else.
Yeah.
That kind of stood in the way there. Yeah.
I just find it fascinating because you never know. I mean, like, no pun intended, what you're going to run into, but you know, literally, it's intriguing, but it's almost a little scary too, because have you ever had attachments taken off of you that you know of?
I have brought things home, I think, a couple times, but have always seemed to, it goes away. Okay. Goes back. I was trying, you know, say you need to go back to where you came from. That's where you know. That's where your energy is best held. That's where you need to go. But I've never had something removed by somebody else. Mm-hmm. I'm usually pretty good about when I leave a space, or, you know, leaving a reading for somebody or leaving an investigation somewhere. I'm usually pretty good about, like, okay, thanks for sharing your space with me. You can go wherever you need to here, but you can't go home with me. And I'll respect you if you respect me back in that way. And so I think it works. So there's only been a couple of times where something seemed to come home with me from a location.
What would you relay to people about everything that you have gone through?
If I were to take a macro look at my experience, I'll start there. My singular experience is to have an open mind, to be willing to experience, to be respectful, not only to other investigators or clients or just your neighbors, whatever, but being respectful to the other side, to spirits, no matter what location, no matter what stories you hear about the place. I am a big believer in communication, of meeting people where they're at. And one thing that's just kind of been really sounding off in my head the past few years is ghost where people wants to. Not to say that there aren't other things out there, because I think there is, but for the most part, I think most of us experience in the paranormal field is human spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started to look at it, everything that way, it changed how my approach to investigation, to put that human element back into spirits. You know, spirits, it's mostly unknown, right? And it's something that we're going to react to possibly in a fearful way, or not a logical way, because we don't know what it is. But if you can put that human element back to them, it really can guide you in a good way to have a better experience, gather better data, mm-hmm. more frequent data, that sort of thing. So for myself, it's that kind of mindset and the intention of I'm wanting to learn about them. I'm wanting to hear their story. I want to share their story, whatever that spirit may be, whatever they may have gone through. So like putting that human element back to them and always remembering they were people once too, just like us, it's really changed my focus in what I do. My experience as a medium has changed my life over the last 9 years in a good way, mm-hmm. Of just getting a better sense of what's out there. But I also believe, and I'll say this too for everybody out there, if what you're doing doesn't produce more questions, you're not doing the right thing.
Right.
When you're running into more questions and you keep running into more questions, you're on the right track. You're on the right path to things, right? Because mm-hmm. we're supposed to learn on our time here in this plane, in this planet. We're supposed to learn. And so whatever you do, be open, be respectful, and keep searching. Never stop learning. I guess that's how I would answer that.
Tell everybody what's happening with you, where they can find you, where they can listen to you. And I will have all of this in the ending show notes. Again, as a reminder for people to go back, rewind, and then they can write that stuff down without things going by so quickly.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to share where people can find me and hear me. You can find me at PortGambleParanormal.com. It's right here on my hat, just add a .com there. I do tours and public investigations throughout the year here in Port Gamble. It's in the Seattle region. Mm-hmm. So PortGambleParanormal.com. You can book psychic mediumship readings with me through there as well. I work mostly as an evidential medium. And then also PortGamble.com is where you'll find our 14th annual Port Gamble Ghost Conference. Mm-hmm. And it's every year in November, usually the second weekend in November, and it's a 3-day conference. So if you go to PortGamble.com, go to the events tab, you'll find the Ghost Conference there. You mm-hmm. can find me on the socials on Facebook /Paranormal Pete Show. So I host a weekly podcast on WLTKDB.com. It's a great station. We've got over 25 shows every week that are going on there. So look up WLTKDB.com and follow me on Facebook at Paranormal Pete Show.
Pete, thank you so much again. And again, we'll have you on in the future. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you so much.